starting from verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Now I hand it over to Reverend Winston Ma to deliver the message for us today.
Thank you. Let's pray before we come to God's word. O Lord, we pray that you'd pour your spirit into us, that we might listen well to your word, and help us, Lord, not to be merely hearers of your word, but to be doers of your word as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there have been some shocking things that have happened this year. To kick off the year, Australia experienced one of the largest bushfires in our country's history. In January, one of the greatest basketballers, Kobe Bryant, died in a tragic helicopter accident. In May, the death of George Floyd in the US sparked a worldwide outcry of injustice and protesting. Now, all these things were shocking and incredible events in and of themselves, but without a doubt, what marks 2020 above all these things, of course, it's the coronavirus pandemic. The pandemic has literally changed the world. Yesterday, the total number of COVID cases broke the 80 million mark. Can you imagine that? 80 million people. And over 1.75 million COVID-related deaths. To give this perspective, more people in the US are dying every single day from the coronavirus than all the people who died in 9/11. That's what happened this past week. Every single day that's happened. It's a shocking thing. Imagine all of that grief. And imagine all the challenges that come with that grief. Not being able to go to a funeral of a loved one. And I don't know if you see, there's pictures of places all around the world where there's just not enough places to bury the dead. They just dig massive trenches and just lay the dead people in the ground. No doubt we in Australia have come out of this, well, we're not out of it yet, but we've been going through it in a much better way than many other countries. We've done a lot better. But even here, we have felt the impact of the pandemic. The pandemic has changed the way that we live in Australia. It's not just changed the way that we live, but the church has had to change as well. All of a sudden, the plans which the church had at the beginning of this year were thrown upside down. And we had to pivot. That's one of the big words of 2020. Pivot. We had to pivot from meeting physically to meeting online. And we praise God for technology like Zoom. It's been a challenging year where many of the things that we wanted to do, we couldn't do. Things had to change. This morning, I want us to reflect on this past year. And as you reflect, I don't want you just to reflect on what's been good or what's been bad. But what I really want to encourage you to do is to reflect this year on your journey with God through all the things that have happened. I want to use this passage that was just read to us to give us a little guidance on that reflection and to give us some advice on how to move forward into 2021. So let's have a look at this passage. James 4, verse 13. James says there, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. So apparently there's some people in this church who thought it would be a good idea to make some plans, to pack their bags and go to another city for a year, do business there and hopefully make some money. Now, is there anything wrong with doing that? Is there anything wrong with making plans? Is there anything wrong with going to another city to stay for a year there, to do business there and try to make money? I think we would all agree that on the surface, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with relocating your family to another city. In fact, that's really what my family has done. We've moved from Merrylands West to Chatswood recently. We've done that. There's nothing wrong with relocating. There's nothing wrong with deciding to start a business and trying to make a living out of that. So in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with making those kinds of plans. In fact, it's wise to make plans because plans give us some sort of a direction moving forward. So the problem isn't those things, but what James has an issue with here is the person who makes plans without God. The person who ignores God as they make plans for their life. The person who plans without considering whether God wants them to do that or not. What James is rebuking here is when people have the attitude, God, we don't need you. And it becomes quite clear in verse 15. Have a look there. James says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As you look back in your year, have you made decisions for your life with God or without God? If there's anything we've learnt this year, it's that our plans often don't go as we planned. Some of us have had to cancel holidays. Some of us have had to cancel flights, cancel dates, change venues, change destinations. Some of our best laid plans have been literally turned upside down through circumstances that have been beyond our control. Now, we feel good when our plans turn out well. We feel bad when our plans don't go as we planned. But what James wants us to focus on is not so much the failure or the success of our plans, but whether we made those plans with God or without God, whether God was a factor in our decision making or not. Now, here's something which I want us to realize that it's quite important as we reflect. Honest reflection is not as simple as we might think. The reason is because sometimes when things go well, when our plans actually succeed, we can fool ourselves into thinking that God was actually for those plans, when in actual fact, that wasn't the case. In reality, sometimes we make the wrong choices, yet God lets us get away with it. Sometimes we make the right choices, but they don't turn out the best for us. What's important, though, is whether we made those plans with God. Now, I've got to admit, at first I thought, what's James talking about here? Is it really that bad what James is talking about? I mean, we all make plans on our own, don't we? I know I often do. We all make plans on how we use our time, how we spend our money, how we spend our holidays, how we invest our time, energy, our money. We have this tendency to make plans often without God. So is it that big a deal to do this? Well, for James, this is no small matter. It's in fact a very serious problem in James's eyes. He says when we plan without God, it's boastful, it's proud, it's arrogant. And James uses a very strong word to describe this kind of attitude. He says it's evil. Look at what he says there in verse 16. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Wow, that's a strong word, isn't it? I mean, we all know what evil looks like, don't we? Genocide is evil. Hijacking large planes of with people in them and flying them into buildings, that's evil. You know, molesting children, that's evil. We know what evil is. But what about making plans on your own? Is that evil? Well, James says, when we make plans without God, it's boastful. And all such boasting is evil, James says. Now, why does he say that? Well, James says that all such boasting is evil because I think what he's trying to point to us is that this making decisions on your own without God is the sin behind every sin. When we make plans without God, then we are saying to God, we don't need you. Your opinion, God, is unimportant to me. I'm the king of my life. I can do what I want, and I don't need you, God. I can make plans for myself, so no thank you, God. And it's this pride, this striving for independence from God, which is the sin behind every sin. It's the very reason why God sent Jesus into this world to die on a cross for us, because mankind has tried to become independent from God. We've rejected God. We've become proud and arrogant, and we try to be gods unto ourselves. We've said to God, I've got my own plans and I don't need you, God. Now, I think as Christians, we would, I don't think we would say that, would we? We would never say, you know, I've got my own plans and I don't need you, God. But here's the thing. We don't say it, but we often live like we think it, don't we? This past year, there have been times where we have laid down plans and we never gave much thought to whether God wanted us to do those things or not. So we might say, you know, 2021, I'm going to do this. I'm going to study this course. I'm going to start a business or to move to this location. And we can do those things without giving much thought to whether God wants us to do those things or not. And we often do those things. And James says to that attitude, don't be like that. Don't be like a hypocrite. And if you know the book of James, that actually is one of the key themes in James's book, in James's letter. He wants us to distinguish between those who are genuine believers and those who are not. Those who have true faith and those whose faith is dead. Those who say they believe in God and live like they believe in God, as opposed to those who say they believe in God but live like there was no God. It's sad, but if we're honest, a lot of the times we say there's a God, but we live like there was no God. And when we do that, we're in fact practical atheists. What do I mean by that? We're practical atheists. We're not atheists like Richard Dawkins, who openly deny there's a God, but we're practical. In practice, we're atheists. We say there's a God, but in practice, we're atheists. We're practical atheists. So the issue for us is not whether we believe in God or not. The issue is whether we live like we believe in God or not. Do we live as if there is a God? Do we live as if we were accountable to God? Do we live with God at the center of our life? Do we, in fact, live for God rather than for ourselves? Or are we actually practical atheists? And what James wants for us is for us to have the right perspective in our life. So he says to us in verse 14, why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Do you hear what James is trying to say to us here? He's saying, don't live life as if you're going to live here forever. You know, if there's anything the pandemic has taught us this year, it's that we aren't in control. And our lives are fragile. Our lives are fleeting. One moment we're strong and healthy, the next moment we're struggling. And as we've seen in the news, many people have died this year because of the virus. And James says, you are a mist. Here for a moment, then gone. You're like that cold breath in the winter mornings. There for a moment, and then it's gone. That's what our life is like. It's fragile and fleeting, and we aren't really in control of it, are we? We might have made the best plans for our lives this year, but what's happened? A lot of things didn't turn out as we planned. And James says, we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. We aren't even in control of what's going to happen tomorrow. In fact, we might not even be alive tomorrow. Only God, the Creator, knows what's going to happen. And only God is truly in control. I once was driving to a prayer meeting, which, of course, that's a good plan to make. I had a plan to go to a prayer meeting. I was driving to the prayer meeting. And as I was driving to the prayer meeting, suddenly this taxi pulled in front of me, jumped the lights early, and I slammed the brakes as quick as I could, but it was too late, and I virtually slammed into the car at almost 60 kilometers an hour in an instant. And my life just flashed before my eyes. I thought, wow, I could have died. I could have killed that taxi driver. You see, we're not in control, are we? We never know. There's so many circumstances that can happen to us that are beyond our control. Our life is a mist. We don't know what's going to happen the next moment even. And James reminds us, we're here for a little while and then it vanishes. And that perspective should teach us how to reflect on this year well. And it should teach us how we can live well in 2021. So how can we reflect well this year, first of all? Well, when we realize that our life is fragile and fleeting and that we aren't in control, but God is, then it ought to teach us to be much more grateful for the life that we have. It's not that we are more deserving of God's protection from the virus than other people, but it's all been God's mercy. It's all been God's provision for our lives. So as we look back, it's what happened, what's happened this year, which has generally been pretty rough for most of us. We ought to be able to see that God has been lovingly watching over us. And we ought to be very grateful to God for all of God's provisions for our life in 2020. And I want to encourage all of you, as you reflect on this year, look and see how God has taken care of you. Look and see how God has provided for you in so many ways, physically and spiritually. You know, imagine if this pandemic took place 10, 15 years ago. There was no such thing as Zoom. I mean, going back a little further, there's no such thing as the internet. Imagine we couldn't even go to church in those circumstances. But by God's grace, He has provided a way for us to still in some way stay connected and keep having God's word fed to us week to week. Let's be grateful for what God has done for us this past year. Now, as we look forward to 2021, this passage reminds us that we should plan with God in mind. We should ask God, what is your will for my life as we move forward into 2021? Let us make plans not just for this life, but let's make plans that matter for eternity. So instead of planning our lives without regard for God, let us ask God, God, what is your will for my life? What is it that you'd have me do in 2021? We ought to ask God, God, how can I make the right decisions for you? You're the Creator God. You're in control. I'm not in control. Teach me, Lord, to make the right plans. Let us prayerfully seek God's will for us in 2021. And one of the ways in which we can learn what God's will is to learn from His word. That's one of the important things which I would encourage you to do in 2021, is to keep asking God, teach me, show me from your word the things that are important to you, God. What's on your heart, God? What's important to your heart, God? And make my heart like yours. Teach me how I ought to live in this world under you, God. Help me not to be independent from you, but to live under you and for you. For a while now, the English pastors have been making plans for 2021. And as we look forward to next year and as we started to plan for next year, we see that some of these things are very important and will have important consequences moving forward. Now, we can't quite reveal what those exact plans are to you just yet, but we pray, and I hope you will pray with us, that the plans that the leaders make for the church are the plans which God wants for all of us. Pray with us. Let us all be prayerful as a church, that we would constantly, CCC would constantly seek God's will for our church, and we would always do the things which God wants us to do. Let us not just do things because it's practical or they seem good, but let us seek God's will. God, what is it that you would have us do? So for some of us, it's going to mean different things. For some of us, it might mean that you have to make some hard choices for next year. It might mean, for some of you, you might need to quit your job so that you can serve your family better, or you can give more time to ministry, perhaps. For some of you, it might mean that there's something which God wants you to do that previously you thought, well, that's not really comfortable for me. I don't really want to do that. But God might be saying to you, it's time to step up. It's time to get a bit more uncomfortable and do what God wants you to do. Let us be prayerful as we make our plans for 2021. Don't make them independently of God, but let us prayerfully seek God's will for our lives. Let us not be practical atheists. Instead, in our lives and as a church, let us make 2021 count for eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reminder that our life is fleeting. Our life is fragile. This year has taught us that. We thank you for the way in which you looked after us this year. You've cared for us physically. You've cared for us spiritually. So we praise you, Lord. We're very grateful to your care, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Lord, we hand 2021 to you. And we pray, God, that you'd show us what we can do next year, Lord. Lord, we surrender our lives to you. We pray that we would make the right decisions for you. Please show us what they are. Teach us, Lord. Open your word to us, Lord, that we might understand your heart and we might align our hearts with yours, Lord. Show us what your will for each of us is next year and for our whole church, Lord, as we move forward together as a church. Lord, help us to depend on you constantly, to serve you with all our heart, soul, and strength and minds, Lord, and give you the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.